What's one of the most talked about subjects in the Bible? Here's Skip Heitzig with an answer.
For every one time the Bible speaks of the first coming of Jesus, or predicts it, the second coming is mentioned or predicted eight times. Eight times. So here we talk so much about Christmas, Christmas, Christmas. For every one time Christmas is mentioned, or the first coming, that thing, that wonderful work of Messiah, eight times the second coming is alluded to. And for every time atonement is spoken of, the second coming is mentioned or alluded to twice. So it's a very, very hefty subject.
Make the connection.
Well, here we are. We finally come to the end of our journey through the entire Bible. We've covered every book from Genesis on, albeit briefly, and now we finally arrive at the end of the book of Revelation. Today in The Connection, Skip Heitzig examines the bright future of God's fulfilled promise that is in store for all of us who follow Christ. And we'll examine exactly what we have to look forward to as we bring the series, The Bible from 30,000 Feet, to a close. But before we do, what's happening today that may be fulfilling the prophecies of the end times? This month's resource will help you figure that out.
We read the headlines. We hear the news. But are we missing vital clues that reveal just how close the prophecies of Revelation are to becoming reality?
C.H. Spurgeon said, "To be looking out for the Lord is a blessed thing. If you are always waiting for Christ's coming, untold blessings are wrapped up in that glorious hope."
This month, The Connection invites you to explore the biblical prophecies of the end times with Skip Heitzig.
The prophet Zechariah declared this: "All of the surrounding nations will send their armies to besiege Jerusalem." The Hamas would love to see that happen.
Joel Rosenberg.
And the fact that you know Christ as your Savior, or can know Him today, is special. And it means God has a plan and purpose for you.
Lieutenant General retired Jerry Boykin, Greg Laurie, and more. Order the CD set from the recent Preach the Word Prophecy Conference today for just $35. This collection of seven teachings on CD reveals the significance of today's current events and how they're playing a part in fulfilling biblical prophecies and why Jerusalem is at the epicenter of it all. Order your CD set of the Preach the Word Prophecy Conference from The Connection when you call 1-800-922-1888. Or order a set online at connectionradio.org. A collision is coming. The question is, when?
You know, the book of Revelation contains a lot of doom and gloom, but it closes with the bright hope of an eternal future in heaven with God. Best of all, this final book of the Bible gives us a little peek, a little preview of what we have to look forward to in heaven. So stay with us.
And make the connection.
Open your Bibles once again to the book of Revelation, and we'll join Skip Heitzig as he begins this final study in our current series.
One day the world will be shocked, surprised, as they look up, and coming from the sky, like a movie they had seen. It's not a movie. It's real life. It's Jesus coming back, and we're coming with Him. And He's going to end a battle and set up His kingdom and rule and reign on this earth for 1,000 years. And number one, it's going to be permanent. First time wasn't permanent. He was here for 30 some odd years and He left, and He'll return and it will be permanent. And the second coming is very different from the first coming. First time He came as a baby, a helpless baby. Not the second time. Second time He'll come as a warrior king. First time He came, it was gentle Jesus, meek and mild. Second time it will be judge Jesus, mighty and riled. He will come to say, move over, I'm in charge here. Now the name of the book is Revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what we noted last week. This is the ultimate revelation of Jesus Christ as he comes and ends all this mess. This great hope of the second coming has attached to it some of the greatest songs and hymns in Christianity. The Battle Hymn of the Republic is about the second coming of Jesus Christ. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He's trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. That's all about the second coming. He has loosed the fateful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. It's the second coming. When Isaac Watts wrote, "Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her king." It wasn't about Bethlehem. Read about what he was thinking. He was thinking of this event, the second coming, ruling and reigning. So he comes in chapter 19, and after this comes the millennial kingdom, 1,000 years, and then the great white throne judgment, and then the eternal state. Chapter 20 introduces us to the millennium. Verse 1. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan. So now again, the dragon is identified as the devil, Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. Notice how long, 1,000 years. Now that will be mentioned 6 times in 7 verses. 1,000 years, 1,000 years, 1,000 years, 1,000 years, 1,000 years, 1,000 years. So nobody will go, "I wonder how long it is." Well, you know, you really can't be dogmatic or literal about this. 1,000 years, 1,000 years, 1,000 years. Well, it's just sort of maybe 1,000 years. It's a, don't mistake, it's 1,000-year period. That's where we get the term millennium, mille annos in Latin, 1,000 years. Verse 2, he laid hold of the dragon, the serpent. I already read that. Verse 4, and I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Verse 6, blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now understand that there are hundreds of biblical texts that refer to this time period, the kingdom age. It goes by several different titles. It's described by prophets. But only here do we get the length of time. So when we put all of the texts together with the last book of the Bible, we understand what will happen and for how long it will happen. This is what Jesus referred to in Matthew chapter 19, verse 28. He called this the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on his throne in glory, and he promises his apostles to sit with him and to judge and reign over the 12 tribes of Israel. Acts chapter 3, the kingdom is called the times of refreshing, and also in that chapter, the time of the restoration of all things. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10, Paul said, when the dispensation of the fullness of the times have come. There are many references to this time period. We simply put it all together and call it the millennium. What is it? In short, it's an extreme makeover of this earth. We've trashed this earth. And before you go, "Yeah, dude, I'm with you, green all the way," and I don't want to get down on that, but we have trashed the earth. If you think we've trashed it, wait till you see what God does with it in the tribulation. He's going to like mega trash it. And then he's going to take the earth that he trashed and has the right to, because he's going to judge it, he made it. He's going to give it a makeover. Not a new one, this one, made over. An extreme makeover. There'll be massive geographical, topological, climactic changes that restore this earth to its former glory i.e. Garden of Eden type environment. The most compelling reason to take this whole millennium business literally and not allegorically, not figuratively like the amillennialists like to do, is simply there's no other way to interpret it fairly. Because as soon as you start saying, well, we interpret prophecy figuratively, but everything else literally, I'm going to ask you, on what basis do you have the right to do that? On what basis can you say, well, that's literal, but that's not. That's literal, but that's not. Because when Jesus said that he's the only way to heaven, well, maybe he just meant that figuratively. He said, oh, no, it's literal. And so is everything else. You may have emblematic language that speak of a literal event, but the thousand-year period is a literal event. And here's why. If thousand doesn't mean thousand, then what does it mean? You're going to have to make something up. And your neighbor might be an allegorist and make something else up, and you're going to have 15 billion conflicting interpretations of it. If a thousand doesn't mean a thousand, you have big problems, because the book of Revelation is very exact. Here's an example. There are seven churches. There's 12 tribes. There's 12 apostles. There's one-third of mankind. There's two witnesses. There's 42 months. There's 1,260 days. There's 12,000 furlongs. You get the picture. Very exact numbers. If none of that means anything that it says, then why did God spend a whole book writing about something that's not going to happen? That really doesn't mean that. So the best way to interpret it is a grammatical, historical interpretation, and take this as literal. Verse 11 introduces the great white throne. We'll move quickly. I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away. As we read this, I want you to just read this very somberly if you can. This is the most sobering moment in all of world history. Past, present, and future. From whose face the earth and heaven fled away. There was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by things written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. And death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Most sobering, somber moment in history and in the Bible. It's a courtroom scene, very unlike an earthly courtroom scene. Very, very different. There's no debate about guilt in this courtroom scene. There's prosecution. There is no defense. There's a judge. There's no jury. There's a sentence, there's no appeal, and there's punishment, and there is no parole. It's the great white throne judgment. It's the final judgment of the lost, of the damned, as the theologians like to say. Chapter 21 and 22. It's called the eternal state. The eternal state. This is the end of the end. This is the eternity of eternity. If you die today, you'll go to heaven. You'll behold the throne of God. At some point in the future will be a rapture. Saints will be caught up, after which period there'll be 7 years of tribulation. The first 3.5 years, sort of mild. The last 3.5 years, really, really, really bad. Jesus will then come back at the end, make over the earth. There'll be 1,000 years ruling and reigning. Satan, who is bound, will be released momentarily. There'll be an uprising that will be quelled. After that, great white throne judgment. After that, the eternal state. And it stays that way forever and ever and ever. The eternal state is the new heaven and the new earth and the capital city, New Jerusalem. This is the ultimate phase. This is the final phase. Verse 1, chapter 21. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Okay. The millennium was a makeover. Now it's destroyed. This earth will eventually be destroyed by fire, Peter said. Jesus will make a new one. God will make a new one. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. So this is it. This is a new heaven and new earth. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. The word new, Jerusalem, new heaven, new earth, is the word kainos, not naos. It's not just new in time and chronology, it's fresh, it's different. It's altogether totally cool and totally different than the first one. That's the idea. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." And he who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said to me, "Write, for these words are faithful and true." I imagine John is just sort of like taken. He's looking at new heaven, new earth, new Jerusalem. He's going like this. God has to say, "Wake up, boy, write this down. This is going in the Bible, man. This is the book of Revelation. Write this. This is faithful and true." Now, some people in reading this are very uncomfortable with heaven, at least part of it, being one gigantic city. You go, "Oh, no, I pictured a mansion out in the country." A big city, and it is a big city. It's 15,000 miles wide, 15,000 miles deep, 15,000 miles long. It's like a big cube coming out of heaven. You see, even I, when I read this, I say, okay, if I'm writing the book, and I'm not, thank the Lord, if I'm writing the book, it's going to say something like this: "And there was no more city." Not "no more sea." It's going to say, "And there were no more cities, but there was lots of sea and lots of beaches." You know, that's where I go with it. Apparently, God doesn't agree with me. Apparently, God believes that we were created for social interaction, and heaven is going to be the ultimate social interaction, ultimate social community, a shared social place, shared community. And some people, again, like to say, "Well, this is just an allegory. It's not a literal city," except it keeps saying it's a city, it's a city, it's a city, it's a city. So if it tells me enough times, I'm going to go, "You know what? I just think it's a city." The physical dimensions are even given. Just in case you think it's an allegory, you have to now allegorize all the physical exact dimensions that are measured. And look at chapter 22, verse 6. "And he said to me, 'These words are faithful and true. The Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show his servants the things which must shortly take place.'" Remember, we discovered in the first chapter, these things must shortly take place. En takai is the Greek. We get the word tachometer. It's something that measures velocity. Once these things start to happen, they're going to happen rapid fire and be done with very quickly. That's the idea. It must shortly take place. "Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed," or happy, "is he who keeps the words of this prophecy of this book." That's verse 7. Go down to verse 20. "He who testifies to these things says, 'Surely I am coming quickly. Even so, come, Lord Jesus.' The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." Now, the Bible begins where we see a curse. Now we have grace, the very last verse. The last chapter of the Bible, God's final message, brings us full circle. You see, the Bible is sort of like a novel. You open it up, everything's wonderful and good and magnificent. It's the Garden of Eden, it's filled with goodness, and then there's a twist in the plot. Evil is introduced into the world. But immediately, a deliverer is promised. But the evil gets worse and worse and worse. And as it does, more promises, more promises, more promises of a deliverer. Then Jesus Christ finally comes. He's born, he grows up, he lives, he dies, he resurrects, and he leaves again with the promise to return. In the meantime, we're left wondering and waiting and hoping and wondering, what's it going to all turn out to be like? And so we read the book of Revelation and we find out how it's going to turn out. That which is ruined is restored. Consider this as we close. The Bible opens in a garden. The Bible closes with a garden environment in a city, spoken about in Revelation 22. The Bible opens with the heaven and earth created. The Bible closes with the new heaven and new earth created. The Bible opens in chapter 1 of Genesis with God making the sun. In Revelation 21 and 22, there's no need of the sun. God illuminates all with his glory. In the book of Genesis, the night is distinguished from the day. In Revelation 22, I think verse 5, there is no night. Everything is always illuminated. In Genesis 3, a curse is promised on creation. Revelation 21 and 22, the curse is removed. In Genesis, there's the fall of man, introduction of death, sorrow, tears, pain, and all of that is removed in Revelation. In Genesis, man is barred from paradise and unable to eat of the tree of life. In Genesis 22, the tree of life is in the city of God, and men will eat freely from it, which brings vitalization to the nations. I hope that the Bible, and especially this last book, has awakened you and I afresh to the reality between this world and the next world. Have you ever heard this? Get real, man. Live in the real world, man. This is the real world. You ever hear those kind of things? It's true. This is the real world. Real things happen. Real hurts happen. And people say, this is the real world. It is. But there's another world. Let's call it the really real world. Yeah, this is the real world. But what's coming is the really real world. It's eternal. And there's only two kinds of people. Not three, not a million. Only two kinds of people. Saved and unsaved. Born again and not born again. People who will inhabit the really real world of heaven and the new heaven and the new earth, and those who will not be. And the Bible repeatedly draws that distinction. And that's why it begins and closes this book saying, blessed is the one who keeps this book. How do you keep the book of Revelation? I'm going to go home and practice the book of Revelation tonight. How do you do that? Simply by making a choice for living for the eternal, really real world, not just the real world, not just the fleshly world.
And that closes our time in this series, The Bible from 30,000 Feet. It's been an epic journey as we've traveled from Genesis to Revelation and watched God's plan of redemption unfold through the pages of history. You may be wondering, now that you've gone through the Bible, what do I do next? Well, two quick suggestions. One, go back to your favorite sections of the Bible and study them in more detail and with more scrutiny. Two, put what we've read and studied into action in your daily lives. Let the Bible, the whole counsel of God, come alive in everything you do. Well, as we close today, if your interest in ministry extends beyond just support to being an active part of it, you may want to consider the School of Ministry. What's that? Well, I'll let Skip answer that question.
This is Skip Heitzig, and I want to let you know that the Calvary of Albuquerque School of Ministry is back in action for the 2010 school year. If you'd like preparation for ministry, or if you want to take time to get direction for Christian service, our SOM could be just for you. Applications are open to men and women at any age or stage of life. Here's where to get more information about the Calvary of Albuquerque's School of Ministry.
And as Skip mentioned, it's a great program that will prepare you to be an active part of just about any ministry. But if you want to join the fall semester, you need to register soon. And you can do that by calling 1-800-922-1888 or when you visit connectionradio.org. And also keep in mind that this entire series is available for you to order. Find out how to get the complete series, The Bible from 30,000 Feet, on CD when you call 1-800-922-1888 or when you visit connectionradio.org. And if you're only liking today's teaching to complete your collection, it's available for just $6, including shipping. Again, all you need to do is call us at 1-800-922-1888. Or write the connection, P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199. Thank you for joining us on this journey through the Bible from 30,000 feet. And if it's blessed you, be sure to take advantage of the resources we have available to help you pass that blessing along to someone else.
And make the connection.
Well, next time, we'll continue with the theme of Revelation, the return of Christ and the end times in a new series called The Rumblings of War and the Prince of Peace. The Connection is a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.